You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Shannon in Iowa, and her question is about separation anxiety and when the child wants to bring the parent into the playroom. And so I have answered this a couple of times in various contexts before, but this is something that comes up in the collective, the online community, almost on a weekly basis. It's something that comes up in coaching groups almost on a weekly basis, and something I get asked about very, very frequently for the podcast as well. So this is obviously something that a lot of us are having a difficult time navigating. So I think it's worth revisiting. And I think even if you feel like you've heard some of this before, it might be helpful just to have a little bit of a refresher. Because really what this comes down to is confidence. And it comes down to articulation to parents. And it comes down to a trust in the process. So if we use those as our three points of grounding, we are much more equipped to handle something like this. So let me read parts of Shannon's question and then we'll dive in together. So my question is about separation anxiety when children want their parent in the playroom. Advice on managing this in a purely child-centered play therapy manner while holding true to the model. Okay, so let's start with the basic premise of the context of the playroom. So the playroom is for the child and the therapist only. And I've had a lot of coaching participants, I've had a lot of session videos that I've watched where a therapist concedes and lets the parent come back for a variety of reasons. And I'm always reminding that that is not CCPT. The playroom is a special place, special environment with a special relationship. And that special relationship is the therapist and the child. As soon as you introduce another person into the playroom, it changes the dynamic, it thwarts the relationship, and it can undermine the process. So we always, absolute on purpose, want to make sure that we are adherent to the playroom threshold door being the line where parents do not come into the play session. Now, the only caveat would be if the session is already over and the child wants to show their parent something that they made, something that they did. For example, you can't bring a sand tray out into the lobby with you. So sometimes if a child says, I really want to show my mom what I made in the sand, after the session is over, a parent can come back to see what was made or what the child wants to show them. But as far as coming back in that therapeutic hour, that is a limit that we set. So Shannon, let's kind of dive into that together. So first and foremost, we remind the child that the playroom is only for kids. That's the simplest explanation of why. In a scenario like this, when the child really wants mom, mom is a security blanket, mom is a crutch, mom is the reducer of anxiety for the child. We understand that the child feels overwhelmed. So we're going to go through the ACT process. We're going to acknowledge the feeling first. You really wish mom could come back. You'd really like mom to come with us. You'd really like to have mom play with you as well. So we're going to reflect and acknowledge what the child is dealing with and facing. But then the most simple of the neutral limits is, but the playroom is just for kids. So that is a go-to phrase for the neutral limit. Now you can also say the playroom is just for me and you, or you can say the playroom is not for moms and dads. You can word that in several different ways, but the goal is to set the expectation that the playroom is for you and the child only. And then as far as choices go, it depends on how far the child is pushing, how resistant they are, how difficult that transition is. Sometimes a kid just kind of bucks it a little bit, bristles at it, and then goes back. Other times the child clings to parents in the lobby, will not get up, will not leave. And in that case, you have lobby sessions, which we've talked about quite extensively as well, both in the collective and in the podcast. So lobby sessions are always what our next step is if the child refuses to come back without mom. But then we address that with parents in a subsequent email to follow up after the fact. But as far as choices that go with the limit, it would be helpful to give the child a choice of involving parents in something else. So you can choose to have mom wait outside in the car for you, or you can choose to have mom wait in the lobby for you. Which do you choose? Okay, now we're returning some control of where parent waits for child. Or you can choose to have mom walk you to the hallway door, or you can choose to have mom walk you to the playroom door. Which do you choose? Etc. So now you're providing choices related to child feeling that they have some connection to a parent, but obviously the limit is upheld that the playroom is not for the child. And the follow-up email would make it very clear that that was healthy, appropriate, normal. We're basically trying to just neutralize and normalize what happened, because a lot of times parents will think if a child refuses to come back that it was a failed play session. And it is 100% not. That was very therapeutically valuable, even if the child never comes back to the playroom. So we have to help parents understand that this is a normal part of the process, first and foremost. Second of all, we set expectations for if this continues beyond several weeks, because sometimes it will be a natural 2 to 3 week process before a child feels ready or willing to leave mom. But let's say we were to be 6 weeks in and child is still refusing to come back. In that scenario, then we would prep parents ahead of time in an email. If your child chooses not to come back to the playroom, I'm going to let the child know that he's choosing for you to wait in the car. And then all of a sudden, when parent is in the car instead of the lobby, the allure and the draw to remain in the lobby is lessened. So then parents have to be on board and partner with you in the process of eliminating that crutch. So that would be prompted for the child. You really wish that mom could come back, but you know that the playroom is just for you and me. If you choose to come back to the playroom with me, you choose to have mom wait in the lobby. But if you choose not to come back into the playroom with me, you choose for mom to wait in the car. Which do you choose? And then you're taking away that drive to remain clingy to mom. And that helps with that transition into the playroom. And it doesn't matter what the child chooses. If the child chooses to remain in the lobby, then parent goes out to the car. But if the child chooses to come back, that is their, at that point, that is their decision that they are finally willing, ready, or able to come back. And I feel it's important to just remind everyone, we never ever force a child into the playroom. So please be mindful that if a child has separation anxiety and does not want to leave mom, does not want to come back with you, I mean, let's go back to what Landreth said in that book that I read earlier. You have to remember that you are a stranger to this kid. And this is a strange place, a strange environment, a strange building with a strange person. And that can be really scary for anxious kids, can be really scary for emotionally overwhelmed kids. So there's a process. That's why we call it warm up and initiation, right? So we never force a child to come back. If they choose not to come back for weeks at a time, that is their choice. But the beauty of the CCPT model is they will eventually choose to come back. So we never have to expect them to. We just know that it will eventually happen. And that is remaining true to the model and making sure that we're managing this in a purely CCPT manner, which is what you asked for, Shannon. So thanks so much for the email. Thanks for letting me know that that was something you wanted us to process together. And if you would like me to cover a question for you, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Lots of things happening in the Kid Counselor world, so stay tuned. We'll be sending out an email newsletter, and I'll be announcing some things on the podcast soon. So lots of excitement, lots of busyness, but it's all good. So love y'all so much. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.